You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 22-year-old Guadalupe Adrian Arista is suing Monica Pena for falsely accusing him of burglarizing her home.
Order. All rise.
This is case number 10 on the calendar, the matter of Arista versus Pena.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated, sir. Have a seat.
Mr. Arista, this case is about your claim that the defendant falsely accused you of burglary in her home. She actually says that she was an eyewitness to that burglary because she came in as the perpetrator was leaving. You were arrested and you had a trial. You had an attorney.
Yes.
Was it a court-appointed attorney?
Yes, it was a public defender.
And when you were arrested and assigned an attorney, did you have a preliminary hearing?
Yes.
And did the court find that there was sufficient evidence to hold the case over to trial?
Yes.
So the court found some evidence that a crime was committed, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And some evidence that you committed that crime?
Yes.
Now, you were acquitted after a trial?
Yes, ma'am.
And you testified at that trial?
Yes.
So you are suing Ms. Pena for falsely reporting that you were the perpetrator of that crime?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Pena says that you were, in fact, the perpetrator of that crime, and she is counterclaiming for that burglary. She says as a result of that burglary, she had to take certain precautions in her home that she wouldn't have ordinarily. Now, when did the burglary take place, Ms. Pena?
On October the 11th, 2011.
Do you have the police report?
Yes, I do.
I'd like to see it. All right. What I wanted to do, Mr. Arista, was look to see when Ms. Pena reported this burglary, because basically, what you say is that you came home, you found the sliding glass doors open.
Yes.
You went inside, you saw who you believed to be this young man coming out with a duffel bag and a bag full of your property. He threw you down on the floor.
Yes.
You chased him, you got into your car, chased him. Was he in a car?
He was running.
He was running. Humphrey. Discarded the property so that you got your property back.
Yes.
You called the police immediately.
Yes.
And according to the police report, which indicates that they responded immediately, you told the police that you knew the person who perpetrated this crime.
Yes.
And you knew that person because that person had dated your brother?
Yes, my brother-in-law.
Brother-in-law, a couple of years before?
Yes.
So you knew him and you only knew him by his first name?
Yes.
Your first name is?
Guadalupe, but I go by
and
Adrian.
And your middle name Adrian. Is Adrian?
Yes.
Who you identified him as?
Adrian.
To the police,
mm-hmm.
As Adrian. Okay. And you subsequently identified him in a lineup?
Yes.
Right. Mr. Arista, I have to explain to you that the burden is on you, mm-hmm. because the criminal justice system would not work if people who accused other people of crimes for which they were subsequently acquitted after trial were then sued by everybody who had an acquittal.
Mm-hmm.
Because people would not come forward and say, I was a crime victim, you know, and I think that this is the person who did it or that's the person who did it, because they were afraid maybe if they were wrong or if they were right and the person subsequently was found not guilty, they would be subject to a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do that. But if you can demonstrate to me, to my satisfaction, that the reason she alleged that it was you was not because she really thought it was you, but because she had some other motive to name you, that's your burden.
Okay.
You have to demonstrate to me malice on her part in identifying you as the perpetrator, not just that she identified you as the perpetrator and you were found not guilty, because another judge found that there was some evidence that you were guilty when they sent the case for trial, when you had a preliminary hearing. So the burden, sir, is not on her to demonstrate that you were the perpetrator. The burden is on you to show me that she acted in a malicious way. Do you understand? So I'm prepared to hear you. Go.
So I was dating her brother-in-law, Vincent. I got arrested a month later after we broke up at my house where I lived out with him. He was very abusive, very verbal with me. So then I found out he was cheating on me. So we broke up. Months later, I'm at work, and I think it was October 12th, 2011. And two officers come into my job, and they're like, "Are you Agent Arista?" And I say, "Yes, sir." I'm in my apron. My worker worked at Lowe's. So I go outside, and they just pull me and throw me against the wall. They're like, "You're under arrest." And they read my Miranda rights. And they don't tell me what I'm being arrested for. Now I'm getting accused of that I'm a drug addict, that why did I lose so much weight? Because I used to be heavier back then when I was just dating her brother-in-law. I used to weigh 285. And now when they arrested me, I was looking like this. So the officer was just accusing me of doing drugs. I was like shocked. I was like, didn't know what to do. Like I was panicking. So I told them where I was at because they asked me. And I told them I was at the gym because I usually go in the morning.
Listen to me. You told them you were at the gym.
Yes.
And?
And then they send one of the officers down there to the gym.
Don't tell me what anybody found, sir. What you have to demonstrate to me is that she acted with malice. So far, you're telling me the same story that I would hear if we were going to trial.
Yes.
What proof do you have that she acted with malice, knowing that you are not the perpetrator, in reporting that you were the perpetrator to the police?
The only thing I could come up with was my ex. Her and them must have a lot of free time on their hands to go behind my back and do that, because he was in the police report and he identified me with her to tell them
listen to me. She identified you by name before the police questioned her brother-in-law. But she only knew you by your middle name.
I never even met her in my life, so I don't know how she knew me by my name. I don't even know this woman. I met her husband on the side, that's it.
Had you ever met him?
Yes, I've met him a few times at my mother-in-law's house when he would go visit my brother-in-law, Vincent.
Her brother-in-law lived with me, so I don't know how I would go to his mother-in-law's house. The only time that I would be there is when I first dated him, the first early years.
Mr. Arista, you have no case. You understand that.
That's why I'm here to fight it, because I didn't do something I didn't do.
Well, you can't fight it, sir. I'm telling you what your burden is. Other than the fact that she says she knew you and she said she had met you before, have you ever been involved with the criminal justice system before?
Never.
Just of my own curiosity, what was in the bag that was taken from your house?
Coach purses, laptops, video game console, all of my kids' video games, remotes.
Now, did your brother-in-law live with you?
No, he at the moment was staying next door to me, which is my mother-in-law's house.
Staying next door?
Yes, it's a duplex.
Had you ever been in that house?
His mother-in-law's house.
Yes.
One time.
So you had been there?
Yes. One time to go drop him off.
Good. Mr. Arista, you have any proof that she filed this complaint and named you maliciously?
No, I do not.
Well, then
I can't say that she accused me because I don't know reason what her motive was.
What you have to demonstrate, sir.
Well, I'm trying to. I don't know what proof do you want. I can't bring my ex in here and be like, "Oh, did you tell her to do this?" I didn't.
Well, yes, you can.
He wouldn't be in here. He wouldn't even come. He was on. He was going to court with me. Well, she didn't even know. He was the one going to testify against her.
Listen to me. I can't help you for the people that you don't have in court, mm-hmm. sir. I can only hear witnesses that you do have. I've told you what your burden is. Okay.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to tell me?
Just that I completely feel unsafe in my home now. I was invaded, and because of this, I've had to take extra precautions to keep me and my kids safe. And I at least want that reimbursement, mm-hmm. since there was no actions taken and he was acquitted from the case. Mm-hmm. He got his freedom. He should have just ran with it. But no, instead, he decided to sue me.
Well, I just threw out his case.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question, Ms. Pena.
Yes.
I want you to think carefully. Is it possible that you made a mistake?
No. No, Your Honor.
Why are you so committed?
Because I was face to face with him in my home. I met him a few times. I know who he is. I'm not.
Did your brother-in-law use drugs?
He did, at a point
in time. What kind of drugs did he use?
I don't know, Your Honor.
Did he use drugs while he was dating the plaintiff?
Yes.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Like, they found someone before me when they arrested the day before. They found a suspect down the street from her house.
Yes, I read that.
Yeah, matching the same description.
No, listen to me. I read this police report.
And later today,
she called and said, Auntie, I'm in jail. Can you please bail me out? And when the kids called for help, I always help.
So you didn't call your mother. You called Lynn, friend of the family.
Yes.
Because she had a drug problem.
Closed captioning is provided by.
Now you can take a Kit Kat break, even when you don't have time for a break. With new Kit Kat Minis. Poppable, bite-sized minis that let you make break time anytime.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Adrian Arista says his ex-boyfriend's sister-in-law, Monica Pena, falsely accused him of burglarizing her home. Monica is countersuing for damages as the result of the crime.
What kind of drugs did he use?
He used meth.
And when he used meth, did you ever try it with him?
No. I never tried any sort of drug with him.
Did you ever try any sort of drugs while you were living with him, not in his presence?
No.
How long did you date him?
2.5 years.
And during that entire period of 2.5 years, are you saying that he used methamphetamines?
No. When I first met him, he didn't use it.
And how long into the relationship did he start to use it?
Like 1.5 years when we started breaking up and he was going back and forth. Wherever he was living, I don't know, he would go place to place. And then when we recently got back together, that's when I started noticing more in him, because he would just be asleep all day and wake up at night and just do it, and he'd just be a totally different person.
Do you have any proof, Ms. Pena, that the plaintiff used drugs with your brother-in-law?
I don't have any proof, no.
Is there anything else you want to tell me?
I don't have anything to say. Like, I can't prove my case if I don't have nothing to show you that why she did it maliciously. Like, they found someone before me when they arrested the day before. They went to the house officer. They found a suspect down the street from her house.
Yes, I read that.
Yeah, matching the same description.
No, listen to me. And they brought that person back to her immediately that day. And she said,
and
no,
she
said, no, that's not the person. I know the person. That's not the person. I read this police report. It's interesting. Eyewitness identification, Mr. Arista, is often suspect because, you know, you see somebody, you are nervous, your heart is pounding, you find somebody in your house, you're face to face with them, but it all becomes a blur if you've never seen them before. But if you've met them before, and you've met them before in an intimate family setting, so you know who she is.
Who she is.
No. You knew who she was. You knew she was the sister-in-law of your ex-boyfriend.
Not until I got arrested. I didn't even know who she was.
No, just a second. When you got arrested, you knew who she was.
Yes, when I got arrested,
just
I knew
a second.
Who she was.
When you got arrested, not today, not at the trial, but as soon as you got arrested, you knew who she was.
Like when I got arrested at my job? That's when I got arrested. No, I did not know who she was until
because
I went to
they
trial.
They
didn't tell me nothing.
No, I don't believe that at all, sir, because your attorney must have known who the complainant was.
Yeah, when
was.
I went to my attorney, that's when they told me.
Of course. Well, now you just changed the story. Not when you went to trial. Your attorney told you who the complainant was.
Yes.
And that was way before you went to trial. You were arrested in 2011. When did you go to trial?
Well, I didn't start trial until my preliminary hearing, the first part, with my first public defender, and he told me. And then a couple months later, I got a new public defender, and that's when I went to trial with her.
I understand, but you knew who it was.
Yes, I knew who she was.
You knew who she was. Well, that's what she's saying to me. She said, I don't have to guess who it was, and I don't have to rely on my memory of the event with regard to who burglarized my house and who I came into contact with. I recognized him. Like, I would recognize it if Bird were in my house. I wouldn't say I need a lineup. I would say, I know who he is. I've seen him before. Do you understand what I'm saying, sir? She told the police your name.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today.
No, I didn't. I thought it was a gift.
What made you think it was a gift, like a birth gift, like a sweater?
Because she was helping me out.
Like a sweater.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Adrian Arista says his ex-boyfriend's sister-in-law, Monica Pena, falsely accused him of burglarizing her home. Monica is countersuing for damages as the result of the crime.
In order for me to believe you, I have to believe that she made up the whole burglary.
I don't have proof that she did that.
No, the whole thing is ridiculous. She saw you in her house, and I believe she saw you in her house. And you had a very kind jury that maybe felt, well, I can't prove. Did you testify at the trial?
Yes, I did testify.
You're very believable. But eyewitness testimony is suspect, but not her testimony. Her testimony is not suspect because she knew who you were. She had seen you and met you before.
She never met me, so how does she see me?
No, she says she met you.
She said she met me. That's hearsay. She said she met me.
No, that's not hearsay, sir.
To me, I never met her, so how would she know if I met her?
Just a second. You may not remember. She remembers meeting you well enough to name you to the police who responded immediately to the scene. She didn't say somebody who I think I may know because maybe that person dated my brother-in-law. She said, this is the person who was in my house who I came face-to-face with, who pushed me down, and who I chased. That was you. Judgment for the defendant on her counterclaim for $2,500. Thank you. That's all.
Audie's an excuse. You may step out.
The officer pulled up a screen. There were six different pictures, and he wanted to know who he was.
I didn't do it, and then it just bothers me that they would accuse me still of doing it.
Took me 3 seconds to find him on that lineup.
Like, I've been going a whole year of my life ruined because of this.
It was terrifying. There's no words to express how I felt.
It was really embarrassing. I'm even humiliated right now.
I feel that I finally got some type of justice and some closure. I'm glad that this is over.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Klan versus Wentz. Step forward.
Lynn Klan is suing her niece's half-sister, 22-year-old Kayla Wentz, for a loan for bail after she was arrested for possession of heroin.
Miss Wentz, how do you know the plaintiff?
She's a friend of the family.
Friend of yours?
Yeah.
She a nice lady?
Yes.
Helpful to you?
Mm-hmm.
Took you in when you needed to be taken in?
Yes.
And when was that you needed to be taken in?
Over the past few years, on and off, I've lived with her.
Because she had a drug problem?
Yeah.
And she was supportive?
Mm-hmm.
And you got yourself arrested at some point?
Mm-hmm.
And you were incarcerated. When you were arrested, you were allowed a phone call?
Yeah.
Who did you call?
Lynn.
Where is the rest of your family?
I think my dad might have been in jail at the time, and I didn't talk to my mom at that time.
Didn't talk to your mom because she was angry with you?
Yeah.
So you didn't call your mother, you called Lynn, friend of the family.
Yes.
And when you called Lynn, Miss Klan, tell me what she said to you.
She called and said, Auntie, I'm in jail. Can you please bail me out? I'll promise to pay you back. And she was crying, and I knew that she would be able to pay me back due to the fact that she had a trust. And I have a big heart. When the kids called for help, I always help.
So you went and bailed her out.
Yes, ma'am.
And how much was the bail?
$1,085.
Did you pay her back?
No, I didn't.
Why?
Because I thought it was just a gift, so I didn't think I had to pay her back. I don't know. I thought it was a gift, that she was just helping me out.
What made you think it was a gift, like a birthday, like a sweater?
Because she was helping me out.
Like a sweater.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, a gift is when somebody gives you a sweater, sometimes they'll buy you a camera.
Yeah.
But bail is something different.
Yeah.
Bail is because you want to get out of jail, especially if you have a drug habit, which makes it difficult for getting your drugs in jail, right?
Yeah.
It's hard, not impossible always, but hard. Now, once you got out of jail, you relapsed at least once.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Did you go back to jail?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell me?
I went to rehab and I got out on the 19th of April. I went in March 20th of this year and I've been clean ever since, and I'm trying to get my life together so I can...
Well, let's start by paying her back her money.
Yeah.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,085. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues.
These are his expenses that he put on here to make look like my own personal use.
Pick a bill. If this bill is not for you, then we'll continue to talk.
Next, Judge Judy.
Next on WBZ-TV.
Because I knew she had a trust fund and that she should have paid me back when I bailed her out.
I mean, I didn't think I owed her the money, but I guess I have to pay her back. It is what it is.
She had called me to bail her out of jail, and
I was driving around with one of my so-called friends, I thought.
Told me once we bailed her out what had happened.
We got arrested for drug trafficking, heroin.
She's just one of the kids. Gotta help them.
I was in the car, wrong place, wrong time.
She had a habit, problem with drugs.
I hope we can, like, resolve that and be okay after that.
I'm glad it's done, and I hope the best for Kayla.
To not do drugs.